this is Robert Birnbaum, and I'm sitting here with Anthony Braxton, and tonight we're going to talk about contemporary music in the States and in the world in general. Tony, why don't you tell me about some of the things that went down in Chicago that influenced you and your music?
For the past 4 years in Chicago, there's been a movement of music, if I could say that, in the AACM, the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. And I guess it's what you are referring to. For the most part, the music, jazz music, the music people call jazz, contemporary jazz, has been kind of driven to the underground, under the underground. And for the most part, if you're going to try to participate in that kind of music, or for those who want to participate in that kind of music, we had to kind of come together and help each other, AACM, family together, trying to find outlets to play the music, live the music, be the music. And so that's what's been happening for the most part.
How did the AACM come to be formed?
Well, it came to be formed because the musicians had a lot of things in common, one of which they were starving. And so out of economic considerations, desire to understand what had happened post-Coltrane, Cecil Taylor, Coleman, in terms of trying to understand new concepts from which to continue to create music from, they came together from those needs, spiritual, economic, and a desire to understand what was going to be happening in the next 10, 20 years in creativity in this country.
Are all the musicians in the AACM, were they born in Chicago? Did they grow up in Chicago?
No. I guess what's happened is that they came to Chicago, and like when people talk about like a Chicago school of music, they're talking about the people who for the most part came to Chicago, whether they lived here or not, and worked in the AACM 3, 4, 5 years, however long it was. So it didn't really make any difference where you came from. I guess the only thing that was important was your desire to play the music and to function as a integral part of the group. So
it seems to be a common story that black musicians in this country have been exploited, have been manipulated, and it would seem that the audiences, that the media are more enlightened in terms of musicians who are serious, you know, who aren't being commercial, who aren't being competitive in a sense that, you know, that they want to get more recognition. You know, why do you think there's this continued, if you do, why do you think there's this continued exploitation and manipulation?
I think what's happening there is more than the way you put it. I mean, what it is, just like we're on this planet, and it seems to be like people who are vibrating towards other realities, which might not encompass all of the different aspects of reality, which seems to be happening on the planet. And so I guess because one might not understand that he exists, or that he doesn't want to exist, or that he doesn't exist, he might not realize that he does exist. And so what's actually happening is that people are trying to affirm their existence. I guess because everyone has different ideas about their existence, that, as Ramakrishna puts it, thickens the plot. So I don't know. You know, no one in his right mind would cut his arm off. And from the same logic, I guess, no person who was conscious of what was happening on the planet would try to destroy his potential in terms of the creativity which comes from his culture, which is him, because that's what creativity is. That's what art in the truest sense of what it really is all about, is about in the first place. And so I'm saying that to say no one would knowingly tamper with his creativity, which is what is happening here, if he understood what he was really tampering with. So what's happening is that why do people have the need to want to kill themselves, you know, which isn't really about the music as much as it's about the culture and what the culture has determined what is valid and what isn't valid. And I guess the question should be, why does the culture want to gear people towards things which does not seem to vibrate towards what's actually going down on the planet? And if that's true, so, I mean, it just goes on, you know. Planet is a very interesting planet, you know. So I guess that answers it. I don't know.
Well, it seems that there's some music that's become acceptable. That's some music that, you know, when Bird first appeared, critics came down on him. It seems to me the music establishment came down on him. You know, and after a period of 5-7 years, there was an acceptability about that music. When Ornette first came out, you know, there was talk about his plastic saxophone, and he wasn't serious about music. You know, it was that noise he was playing with, and then Train, and these people, you know, became accepted. And you know, it seems to me. Do you have any comments about, you know, the way the culture, you know, is able to absorb certain kinds of music and rejects others?
Well, I think the acceptance of certain forms of music is not so much like Arne Coleman's really been accepted. He's been sucked. I mean, in terms of his blood has been sucked. I mean, just like every other creative person in this country who does anything, he has to at some point be accepted, because his mere existence is something else that this culture can suck. I mean, the culture itself is geared towards taking something of essence and sifting it to artifacts and using it as such, you know. And so, like, at some point, just like after hula hoops go out, you need mini skirts, and then you move to midi skirts. And what it really seems to be is, like, people become tired of certain games that they play, and so they decide to play other games, which is actually the same game. And by that same token, Arne Coleman hasn't really been accepted. The empirical aspects of his music has been employed, but his music hasn't been accepted, because the implications of what his music is about, if it was going to be accepted, that would have to be accepted. And for that to be accepted, a lot of people would have to kill themselves, and I don't think they want to kill themselves right now. And I can understand that. I wouldn't want to kill myself. And so, I don't know, you know, this America, on the whole, has always been completely indifferent to art. And it's best for them to be like that if they want to continue to pursue the course that they're pursuing, because that's hip. I mean, I'm not knocking what's happening. Far be it for me to have anything to say about a culture like this one. I mean, you know,
how you gonna
I don't mean to be negative. You know.
How are you going to maintain your integrity? How are you going to stand...
I don't mean to be negative about all this hilarious shit. But that'll be beeped out.
Yeah.
But sure. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, if you aren't ready to see who you are, then at some point you still have to accept certain things that seem to be true about yourself, just because of, you know, the way this situation seems to be. I mean, like music, Western music, for the most part, the techniques and principles and notions from which they extend their music was valid and is valid for 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, what have you, and it's very beautiful.
Would it?
But there's another thing happening now.
Would it be a bad thing if your music was accepted? Would you feel strange?
Well, I would feel very strange, yes. I mean, I don't know. It wouldn't be like a bad thing if my music was accepted. I would just feel strange, because I would say, wow, you know, for it to be accepted would be another whole thing happening, you know. And actually, for it to be accepted would make it invalid because the music is a manifestation of what I feel is happening, you know. And so, to some degree, the music can't be accepted, you know. And to another degree, eventually it will have to be accepted, you know. I don't imagine I'll be here. Or if I am here, then it'll be, well, the music is accepted, so that means there's something else happening.
I'd like to talk about some of the people that you feel have stood out, you know, stood up against the mass culture or against the dying culture. Tell me who are some of the people that you think have created a new way, you know, a new hunt for values.
A new hunt for values? Oh, I think any hunt for values is valid. Whatever method someone uses.
Let's talk about some musicians.
New hunt for values. Well, I think Duke Ellington created a new hunt for values. Arnold Coleman and Charlie Parker created new hunts for value. To some degree, John Cage has created old new hunts for values. Buckminster Fuller. I don't know. I don't quite know what that means. I don't quite know what the question means.
It seems to me that the one of the ways that people express their creativity, you know, or make the move for creativity is stopping and looking around, checking out what's happening, and showing people new visions, showing them new territory, new scenes. I think some of the people you talked about, you know, did that. I think there are also people who've been forgotten. We talked earlier about Charlie Mingus. You
know. Yeah. Well, I mean, on one level, you know, like all these people who we call innovators, I mean, naturally, like, you can attribute that to them, like they've created newer or new paths or whatever it was we were talking about. But, I mean, like, if you really back up and dig the whole planet, you dig, like, any attempt at being normal, which is, like, what artists are, in the fullest sense of the word, trying to do, like, just affirm their beingness through creativity, like any step towards that direction is not so much like a new step or old step, it's like just a normal step. I mean, it's not normal not to take that step. So all I'm saying is, like, it's normal to want to realize who you are through your creativity and for a being on the planet to decide to take that step. It's just, it's like a normal step. I mean, in this culture, it's called innovative to realize who you really are, which is different from the rest, from any other person. I mean, we're born that way. I mean, we're naturally who we are. And so, but in this culture, it's called innovative. But in actuality, it's innovative not to be like that. And so that means, you know, redefinitions, and then it becomes Richard Nixon is the real artist, you dig, because this cat has managed to juggle realities to the point where he could justify some obvious not truths, you know. But I don't mean to single him out, because I don't really mean to even mention his name. I'm just trying to say, and my point is, like, it's innovative to not be who you are. And, like, it really gets innovative when you try to figure out why someone should even try to be something in what they are. And if that's true, then Western civilization has been very innovative.
You've been to Europe recently, and I understand you intend to go back. And it'd be interesting to try and understand if Europe and North America are just extensions of the same kind of value system, or if there's a distinction, if you have different senses of the way things are. What do you think about the way the acceptance of your music in Europe, the acceptance of a certain kind of lifestyle?
You know, our music hasn't been accepted in Europe, but it's been, I mean, it's been accepted, but it hasn't been accepted for what it is. Although, if we could talk about like full acceptance of the music, it's probably been better there, undoubtedly, than it has been here. But there's a lot of other things happened too. I mean, the music over there is like, you know, we accept your music because, well, for one, it would be. It'd be strange not to accept it because it exists, and most people in Europe have like a better understanding of what art activity, in quotes, is all about. But then there's another thing about it too, like it's accepted because most people realize what's happening over here, and so, you know, it's like, well, okay, we got this, and so, you know, what can you do for us? I mean, it gets to be kind of strange. It even gets to be kind of political. Although, there are a lot of people who do dig the music, but for the most part, there's a lot of strange things happening about Europe, you know. I wouldn't, it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there.
Have you met some of the so-called major composers? And so, what are some of the things you've gone through with them? Any experiences to relate?
Well, I've met Cage, and hopefully we might be doing some projects together. I don't know if it's going to work out or not. But I've met him and talked to him and talked to most of the, well, a great majority of the American composers who are doing things, because I'm very much involved in what people call contemporary classical music, which isn't. But I'm very much aware of it because I find that I appreciate a great deal of it. And what do I think of them? Well, what do I think? I think they exist. If you wanted me to go farther than that, you'd have to give me a little more specific question.
Do you think that they warrant the attention that they receive in terms of them being innovators, in terms of them being countercultural?
For the most part, I don't. But then I have to back up and make sure I'm saying what I want to say now. Take Cage, for instance. In one sense, he's the intellectual great white hope. And I must admit, I'm impressed by a lot of his attempts. But Cage's activities from the very beginning sprang from reacting to such and such, like Europe, for instance. I mean, he spent a great deal of time in his music and in his writings trying to put himself in the position of, like, he's reacting to what is going down in Europe, and supposedly, like, he's coming up with something that's different. But the implications of reaction, and even more than that, what he's come out with anyway, has been the same thing, although on the surface one might not conceive it. Cage's music is as European as Stockhausen. Cage and Stockhausen on the same vibration level. And I don't know, you know, I dig Stockhausen of a certain period, its early period, and I can still dig even some of Cage's things now, but revolutionary they aren't.
Let's talk about some of the music that's being created, and if we can at all talk about music, you know, if we can do a better job of it than it does for itself. What do you think some of the striking changes are in the music of the 60s and things that we have look forward to? How do you think that the music in the last 10 years, last 15 years, relates to all the music that was created before it?
Well, I think the music relates in the sense it mirrors where the culture, where the heads of the people who are playing it at. I mean, it's been a logical development. You can check Charlie Parker out and check Arnie Coleman out and Train and even myself and Joseph Jarman. I mean, you can just see like a very clear development of where the activity seems to be going, and I kind of feel that it's not going to be music, it's going to be just creative activity, whether you choose to call it music or whether you choose to take a brick and break a window. Activity affirming one's life is where it's going, where it actually came from, and I don't think that's the problem. I think what's more interesting is to talk about like the dichotomy between the creativity and the people who the creativity is about and for and from.
You once told me that you rejected the notion of being called a musician, and I was a little bit puzzled, and I want you to say something about that, say more about that, if you can.
Well, I guess I rejected that notion because of convenience, especially since so many people were telling me that my activity is not music anyway. And I don't know, I guess I rejected it because I get emotional about semantics, and I understand too that the people who are referred to as musicians, activity could be understood like such and such, like you know, like for the person who's a musician, it implies that the people around him aren't musicians, and I guess you know, I just didn't want to be by myself. I would rather be a human being and have people who are on my level. So, I mean, it's another thing, like I'm a musician and you have to listen to me because I'm a musician. You know, I'm a person who happens to like to mess with this metal thing, saxophone, you know. I like affirming my existence through it, but here, you know, like take the horn, you can affirm your beingness too, you know. I'm nothing more than that. I mean, I make a living now off of my music only because natural activity here is so far out where, you know, it's like they like to put it in plastic cellophane and wrap it up. You dig? It's like, you know, it's like brown rice with white sugar on it. You dig? I play music because it's just, you know, like, how could I say it? I'm getting paid to do what I would do even if I wouldn't get paid. We should all get paid for it, but it just so happens we don't. It's really strange. So I'm a musician by definition, but I'm not really a musician. I'm just I'm really enjoying my life even when I'm not enjoying it. And so I don't know. I don't know how else to say it.
Is the tape on?